Celebrating 22 years, this is the Home Improvement Show with Frank Cohn on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Good morning, and that's actually 23 years. We got to get Robert to change that. Another first world problem. I am Frank Cohn, and yes, this is the Home Improvement Show. This is where you have an entire hour to call in, get any of your home improvement questions answered. The phone numbers here, again, if you don't already know them by heart, is 416-872-1010. Long distance, 1-877-518-5151, or you can text me at 71010. And again, for those of you looking for the names and the numbers of the people I use or recommend, you can go to my website at Frank's Contacts iHeartRadio. Everyone's listed according to categories. If you can't find a number somebody wants, because I don't have a number to give you, and if there's ever a problem with any of these people, you give me a shout at the office. I'll do my best to address your concerns. And again, for those of you who like to call me off air for getting questions answered or looking for referrals, I don't return those phone calls. Again, you have a whole hour here to do that. And for those of you who may be up north at the cottage, you can always call in. I can answer some of your cottage questions as well. But before we get to the home improvement show, a bit from Frank's Garage. First of all, the Mississauga Classic Car Club. We just finished our second show last Saturday, and unfortunately, because of the weather, it was terrible. It was cold and windy, but we still had about 50 diehards show up, which is always great. And I had a lot of the listeners from News Talk 1010 show up to see me, which is always great. I love meeting you people. And sometimes they come with their cars. And if you have an older classic car, or sometimes people bring their new cars, like some of the newer Vets and Camaros and stuff are showing up, everybody's welcome. Generally, we can get up to 200 to 300 cars, especially when the weather is nicer. It's at the Dixie Outlet Mall at Dixie in the QEW. It starts around 4:30. If you're bringing a car, well, you can come anytime. If you're coming just to see the cars, the best time to show up is usually about 7 o'clock, because by then a good percentage of the cars are already there. And for a couple of weeks now, I've been talking about a great charity event called Cool Cars for Kids. It's at the McMaster University in Hamilton, and it's on June the 4th, which I guess will be next week, if I'm not mistaken. It goes from 8 to 4. The gates open at 7:30. And Cool Cars for Kids is a family-friendly event that will provide a memorable experience for seriously ill or injured children and their families who are clients of Ronald McDonald House, the South Central Ontario Division, and McMaster Children's Hospital. And again, there'll be two components to the Cool Cars for Kids. The Cool Car Rally, which is to provide a 20-minute ride through Dundas for the patients and families and guests in some cool, exotic, and collectible cars. Our intent is to provide an exciting event for these families and a bit of a distraction from the circumstances they are going through. And then the second part of is the actual car show. And they're expecting anywhere from, this is incredible if it happens, 500 to 800 cars to show up, and will be located on the McMaster property off Coots Drive. And there'll be food and entertainment and all sorts of great things going on. Again, the gates open at 7:30, food available at 8. The show will start at 9 and will wind down around 4 o'clock. I will be there, and I haven't decided what car I'm bringing. It'll either be my 67 Corvette, or if they want me to participate in the parade and have some people in the car, then I might bring the 74 Caprice convertible. So it should be fun. And this Saturday at the Mississauga Classic Car Club, everybody likes to know what car I'm bringing down. I'll probably be bringing the 67 Vet. Again, this Saturday, for those of you who are interested. With the weather being as it is, in terms of use, I guess before I was talking how to keep your house warm, well, what can you do to keep your house cool? Well, obviously, the first thing is stick your head up in the attic and see if you've got enough insulation. I think the current code is about R60, which means you're going to have at least a couple of feet of insulation up there. So if you stick your head up and you don't have much, that's something you can look at. The other thing is looking at whether your duct work has been sealed, because leaky duct work can lose up to 50% of your heating and or cooling into the walls and the ceilings. This works best from actually newer homes from roughly about the 70s on, because the gauge of the metal was thinner. And unfortunately, and I know this from experience, the quality of the construction or the putting together of this ductwork can be sometimes abysmal. Quite often we find some of the ductwork isn't even connected. So I know my buddies at AeroSeal can seal your ductwork, and if they find sections that aren't connected, they can fix that as well, which will obviously improve cooling. The other thing which I've always been saying is to keep the furnace fan running continuously, so you're getting good air, continuous airflow throughout the house, and that cold air that's in the basement that maybe can then also be circulated through the rest of the house. People always say, well, doesn't that cost extra with electricity? It costs a little bit extra, but not much. And probably the savings in terms of the cooling capacity will far outweigh that. Also, if your furnace fan is going off and on and off and on, you're liable to burn the motor out quicker. So if it's running all the time, that motor isn't as likely to burn out as quickly. Ceiling fans in bedrooms are also great. I find sometimes I don't even need my AC. I can just use a ceiling fan. If you've got drapes, obviously keep the windows covered to keep the heat from coming in. And if you've got your bathroom exhaust fans, if you're finding it's really hot, try turning on the bathroom exhaust fan, because that obviously hot air rises, that will probably expel some of the hot air. And finally, if you have an AC, it's good to get it serviced at least once a year, just to make sure that when you need it, it is actually going to be working. Okay, looking at the text board here, and lo and behold, I actually have a caller. How about that? So why don't we go right to this gentleman, David in Markham. Good morning. You're on the Home Improvement Show. Are you there, David?
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry. I have some questions about toilets. I hear you mention the Boulevard all the time. That one's a little bit out of my price range. Is there a big difference between a $300, $400 toilet and an $800 toilet?
Well, generally, sometimes it has to do with the features. I know with the Boulevard, the reason why I like it, yes, it's expensive. It's a one piece, and it's fully skirted, so it's really easy to keep clean. It's got the soft close seat, and it's also got the seat, which with a couple of buttons, you can remove it for easy cleaning. If that's out of your budget, then I would probably recommend another one of the American Standard toilets. I've been sticking with them. I've tried all the other toilets, and I've been finding with a lot of them around the 4 or 5 year mark, I was getting continuous callbacks for flapper valves for flappers, and the infill valves are failing, and so we had a lot of repair work. But American Standard seems to make a really good product. So you can probably look at one of their other lines that are, you know, probably easily half or even less the cost than that.
Okay. Okay. Can I ask you another quick question?
Sure. Yep.
Bidet seats, like attachment bidets, what's your opinion on those? Are they...
Well, not having ever used one of those, that's more, I guess, the females, I think, are using those.
Sure.
I have a few clients who have them, and I haven't heard them say that they don't like them. It's just a matter of, yeah. So put it this way, if there's anyone out there who has one of these and they want to call in and give their advice or their feedback on those, you keep listening and we'll pass it on to you. Okay. I guess David hung up. Okay, great. All right, where are we going next? Looking at the text board here. Morning, going to be installing a deck on bedrock. Can I just drill and pin into the bedrock using saddles for the footings? If you're on bedrock, I don't see that being an issue, or whether you can potentially cement whatever it is you're using for your base onto the bedrock, because it's obviously not going anywhere. Or yes, I guess you could drill and pin it into the bedrock. Yeah, I don't see that being an issue. When I used to have a cottage, I did one, and I think I did something very similar, and that thing never budged. So yeah, I don't see that being an issue. Another text here. Frank, I just saw a Studebaker pickup truck in Beaton. That's from Greg. Yeah, you don't see many of those around, Greg. Yeah, they're pretty cool looking. Okay, another text here. Hi, Frank. I live in a condo. My bedroom is next to the neighbor's bathroom. Well, that's delightful. When they use shower late at night, the water noise is very loud and often wakes me up. Anything we can do to reduce the noise? Yes, you can obviously insulate that wall. There is a variety of ways, depending on how much space you have. You can build another wall in front of it, keeping it set, keeping it probably half an inch to an inch off the existing wall. You can use a product called Sonopan, which I would almost be tempted to laminate onto the existing wall before you put your new wall up. When you put the new wall up, then you can use the insulation. I think Rockwell makes an insulation that deadens the sound. And then you can cover that with a drywall. There's a drywall on the market. It's not cheap, but it's one sheet of drywall, they claim, is equivalent to 7 sheets of the regular stuff. You put that over top of that, and that will keep the noise down. The only other option is when you go to bed, turn on a radio nice and loud that you can fall asleep to so it drowns out the noise. Okay. Another quick text here. Georgian College Outdoor Car Show is back next weekend. There's hundreds of new cars. And I can't read the rest of the site because the English doesn't make sense. Anyway, so there's another car show starting next weekend at the Georgian College. Great. All right. We're now at 9:14. I've got two other callers. I've got other lines wide open. Again, phone numbers 416-872-1010, long distance 1-877-518-5151. It's now 9:15, so it's time for News Talk 1010, Time Saver Traffic.
Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show with Frank Cohn on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Yes, welcome back. Again, phone number is 416-872-1010, long distance 1-877-518-5151. And always you guys come through. I've got all these texts regarding the bidets. Okay, someone texts here. Instead of buying a bidet, Google something called a Toshi, T-O-S-H-I. It's a bolt-on bum washer. And it's less than $50. They work great. So that's a Toshi for your tushy? Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. Another text. Have added bidets to all my toilets, my rental property, many international students, and they grew up with them and they love them. And another text. I love my bidet attachment. So obviously people are buying them and they work. Maybe I'm missing something here. Okay, where are we going? Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Bob in Richmond Hill. Good morning, Bob. Hello, Bob. Are you there? Okay, well, we'll try Bob later.
Yeah.
Let's try Kevin in Kitchener. Okay, guys in the studio, I'm getting a lot of feedback, and I'm not getting the callers on. I'm just wondering if it's something at your end. Okay, I'm not getting anything. All right, let's go. I've got a text here. Is a permit required for either a kitchen or a bathroom renovation? That's from Charlie. Technically, yes, especially with a lot of kitchens, a lot of people are doing open concept. They're taking walls down. And so basically you need a permit for that. And technically you need a permit for the plumbing. You definitely need a permit for the electrical. I guess it depends how big or small the job is in terms of what's required. The only thing I find is with the really small jobs, I know sometimes get the inspectors sometimes don't even bother showing up because I know with a lot of it, usually they'll say they'll between there in the morning or the afternoon. And if they don't show up, you automatically get a pass on it. But technically, you do need permits for these things. Okay, let's try Bob in Richmond Hill again. Are you there, Bob? Okay, we seem to be having a problem. What about Kevin in Kitchener? Okay, Adam or Mark, are you there in the studio? We have Bob standing by.
Oh, good morning, Frank.
Okay, Bob. Good morning, Bob. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thanks very much. I really enjoyed
good.
The show. I have
Thank
another
you.
Toilet question.
Oh, I love the toilet questions.
You do. Well, everything, yes. everything flushes down the mm-hmm. toilet except the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to do number one on it and put some paper on the top, put paper in, it won't flush the paper. The paper just kind of keeps swirling around. No, is it
yeah.
the toilet? Or
How old's your toilet?
It's probably 15 years at least.
Okay, and it's probably the old style. It's not a single flush with low volume of water?
No, it is a single flush. It has the newer type of flushing mechanism inside. It's not
right.
the one with the ball. But is it the toilet itself?
Well, again, just trying to think here. It sounds like you're not getting enough flow or water down. I guess you open the tank and make sure that when it's filling up to the proper height.
It fills up right to the very top of the overflow
right
to
the top.
Tube.
Okay, well, the other thing, there may be a slight plug in the toilet, which
yeah.
isn't allowing good flow down.
I've tried using a plunger several times. It still doesn't seem to help. Is there? But it won't be the drain itself, like the down drain.
Well, again, if there's something plugging it, then yes. This might be a case where I don't know what your abilities are, whether you take the toilet off and
yeah.
see if there's something that's gotten trapped where the toilet mounts to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Are there females in the house?
Yes.
Okay, well, if anyone is flushed... Okay, but someone's put one of these handy wipes down
no.
they say are flushable and aren't, or a feminine hygiene product
no,
where it's gotten caught up.
No, that wouldn't have happened.
Okay, so the only thing I can think of offhand from what you've told me is there may be something in there that's not allowing good water flow. The only other thing I can suggest is maybe it's time to replace the toilet and upgrade it.
That's what I'm thinking. What's the American standard that you like? Not the $800 one.
Yeah, well, that's the only one that I really like. And it's funny, we're doing a job right now. We're doing a couple of bathrooms, and I took them shopping at Tubbs, and she saw the price of the toilets that I'm recommending. We're going to use two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, $800+ for a toilet? Are you nuts? And I said, well, if I'm doing the job, that's the only one I'm going to install and warranty. And I said, if we have to make savings somewhere else on the job, I'd rather do that than skimp on the toilet because... This Townsend is a phenomenal toilet.
Sir, what's that one called?
The Townsend.
Townsend.
Either the Townsend or the Boulevard. They're almost identical, but just the trim on them is a little different.
Okay. All right. Well, I think probably it is time to upgrade.
And you know what? The amount of time you spend on the toilet, spend the extra money and just treat yourself. It's your throne, so you're worth it.
There you go. Okay.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Toilet questions. Okay. Kevin in Kitchener, are you there? Yep. Hello, Kevin. Okay. I guess maybe we don't. All right. So where are we going here? Okay. I've got wide open lines here, folks. And I guess this always happens once the weather gets nicer. People are either sleeping in, walking outside, or they've gone up to the cottage. So it's usually a lot easier to get in. I've got a text here, and it's a long one. Okay, hello, I'm in a new home build a year ago, and the basement has R20 full-height insulation. I read that, though, these things are there. If you cut the plastic wraps covering and then touch the concrete wall behind it, you will notice it being damp. Is that still the case with new construction, concrete breathing? So really, I'm asking you to recommend replacing this before finishing the basement or simply finishing and drywalling on it. All right. Usually when I'm finishing basements, I find what the builders have put in there is not sufficient or isn't well done. So usually if I'm finishing a basement, I rip everything out, assuming it doesn't have all full framing in it and everything else. We frame the walls either using steel studs or wood. We keep it about an inch off the outside walls. Then I highly recommend not the insulation bats, but getting the 2-pound spray foam because it's going to do 100% better job than the bat insulation, especially trying to get between where the house sits on top of the foundation, because trying to cut little pieces in there and trying to cover it with 6 mil plastic and taping it, it doesn't always do the greatest job. So the 2 pound spray foam will give you an authentic insulation rating. It may say R20 on the bats, but that's more something that was done in the laboratory or conditions. You're probably not getting R20, whereas with the 2 pound, it's, I believe, 6.5 per inch. So, and besides, it seals everything up 100%. Now, with the spray foam, you also aren't required to do the 6 mil vapor barrier. Now, if you do the 1/2 pound spray foam in there, that's 4.5 R value per inch. It's also a lot better. It's a little less expensive, but you then still need to put the 6 mil vapor barrier on top of that before you drywall. Okay, where are we? 9:28. I think I can take another call before the break. Let's go to Peter in Burlington. Good morning, Peter. Okay, we seem to be having problems with the phones and connecting here. Are you there, Peter?
I sure am. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you now. Thank you, Peter.
Fantastic. So an interesting question for you. My nephew bought an old school and is converting it to a bed and breakfast. So what he's doing is putting a shower where a toilet used to be in the drain. And we don't. Mm-hmm. We're trying to find a solution without breaking the ground. And the toilet obviously has a P-trap within the toilet, but a shower requires a P-trap. And we're wondering if there's a way to not have to create a pedestal on the shower. And we're thinking of one of those one-way valves. What do you think of those?
You got me on that one. Because what's the floor? Is it poured concrete?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, because if I were doing this job, I wouldn't want to do shortcuts. Because the way the drains are, it's differently. I know if someone who's a licensed plumber is listening to this and has other ideas, but I would be tempted to tell you, you've got to probably cut the floor open and make sure all the drains and everything are done properly.
Right. I was just trying to find something that would work. We researched it. Haven't come out with anything mm-hmm. that's good yet.
Yeah. Sometimes the harder way is the best and the simplest way, unfortunately.
Sure. The right way is always the good way.
All right, yes, thank you very much. Definitely, Peter. Okay, good luck with the project.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Someone texts me about American Standard toilets at a place I hate shopping at. You can get other American Standard toilets, not necessarily the real fancy ones. Well, you can get them at the different box stores, but I get all my plumbing supplies from Tubbs, the ultimate bath store. They're my favorite. Okay, we're now at 9:30, so it's time, actually 9:31, so it's time for News Talk 1010, Time Saver Traffic.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show with Frank Cohn on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Okay, welcome back. I'm going to go right back to the phones, and we're going, who am I going to? Bryce in Brampton. Good morning, Bryce.
How are you?
How can I help you?
So 2 points. Firstly, I had called up about 3 months ago, and I had talked about installing large format tile on my kitchen, and you recommended that I do, what's a dry pack?
Yes, dry pack concrete.
Down, and I just wanted to thank you so much because the job came out fantastic.
Dry pack
is the best recommendation that I followed. People were trying to sell me other things, but I stuck with it, and I'm very grateful for your recommendation. So that's one thing.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
The second thing I wanted to talk about is, what's your feeling of installing solar panels? I'm interested in doing that. I know there's a grant. We don't plan on moving from this house. This is our forever home. And I just wanted your take on solar panels and the ROI that one could possibly get over time. Thank you.
Yeah, I've never installed them. I don't have them on my house. If I had it in my budget, though, I would be very tempted to do it. I guess the only downside I can think about is obviously going to be the initial expense. So, but if it's in your budget, I don't see any downsides on it. We see what's happening with our climate out there, and I guess every little thing we can do to help remedy it is going to be a plus. And obviously, while the expense to put it on is not going to be small, it is definitely going to keep your electrical bills a lot lower. And with everybody switching to everything electric, including the cars, every little bit we can do to help is, I think, a great idea. So I don't really see any downsides to that.
And did you know if solar panels can be installed on a metal roof? Because that's what I have.
That's an interesting question. I don't see why not. I would probably talk to my buddies at Let It Rain Roofing and get their opinion, because a lot of people have steel roofs, so I'm sure it has been done. I guess the only issue is going to be how they're going to attach it and seal it if they're going to attach it to a steel roof. And it depends what type of steel roof you have as well, whether it's a flat style or it's corrugated or whatever. But
it's architectural. It's one of those that's like a wave.
So. Yes, okay. Well, talk to them, and I'd be interested in getting some feedback. So if you get anything interesting that everybody else would like to know, give me a shout back and let me know what you find out.
We'll do, absolutely, Frank. First of all, they actually give you a $5,000 grant from the government. So that's the lucrative part of it. So I'll definitely keep in touch with you and love your show. Thanks again for all that you do. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. I love all these incentives that the government's giving us back money, but I guess ultimately it's us taxpayers, because this is our taxpayers' money that we're using for furnaces, for all the rebates for insulation and solar panels. But I guess we all have to help do our part to help global warming. Okay, Ash is hung up. I get a lot of people hanging up on me here because I guess they can't wait. All right, let's try Cindy in Toronto. Good morning, Cindy.
Call. I have a 91-year-old home with in the basement. There was an old maid's room that we just used for a guest room. And during the storm 10 years ago, we got leaks in the basement several places, not in that room. But now it appears that there is something. So my husband pulled up some of the floorboards there, red pine, and it's right on top of earth. And we just don't know now what to do, because the pine is kind of cracking, and if you put something heavy on it, like a bed, the bed frames and that, the feet go right.
Right, okay. You said the house is 91 years old. What's your foundation made from? Is it rubble stone?
No, I don't think it is. My husband.
Or concrete block?
Pardon me?
Or it's either that or probably concrete block or brick. Either way, guessing the house. Yeah, okay. I'm guessing this foundation hasn't been waterproofed.
But it's the only room that is this red.
It doesn't matter. If it's on top of dirt, first of all, it tells me a lot about the house. So you've got a whole bunch of problems going on there. First of all, you probably need to have the whole foundation waterproof, because you're getting moisture coming in. Maybe that's a spot it's coming in. But chances are it's probably coming in from the walls, or because you don't have a cement floor, it's coming up through the floor. I would obviously want to take up the floor and make sure you get poured concrete on there. But you probably need someone to go and take a look at the entire house, be it the foundation, all the flooring, and also the drainage system in that house. That is, if you even have a floor drain in there.
Oh, yeah, we've got all kinds of very, very well custom made. And we have no other mold leaking anywhere. This is the only room that doesn't have concrete.
Okay, that's very unusual.
Just from what I'm listening to, just pull up the whole floor. Do I use that, I forget what they call it, the leveling concrete?
Well, again, if you've got a dirt floor, you're going to have to do more than that. I would probably suggest you call my friends at A&A Masonry.
Right.
They'll inspect the foundation. They'll take a look at the floor, because if you've got to put a floor down there, chances are it may have to be slightly excavated, and they'll have to pour concrete, a concrete floor there. And the only reason why I'm saying it may have to be excavated is if they're going to pour anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of concrete, it may end up being higher than the rest of the floor levels.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be, I don't think this is going to be a quick, simple repair, unfortunately, again, especially with a house this old. Yeah, unfortunately, the joys of home ownership.
Anything that goes on in this place is like times three what anybody quotes or thinks.
Yeah, well, houses are known as money pits, so.
Yeah, we've been here 40 years, but I love it. It's beautiful. It's
good stuff.
Really nice. Really nice.
Awesome. Okay.
It's worth putting the money into it.
Yeah, we'll give them a call, and okay. I know they'll take good care of you.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go next to, where are we going next to? Brian in Toronto. Good morning, Brian.
Morning. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I think from time to time I've heard you recommend some model of, what do you call them, American standardist toilets, because we've been having...
Yes.
A few years with Toto's that, you know, the water bill's going from 440 to 740 this month, this last four months, and it's been happening for years. And no matter what I try to do, I can't seem to get it right.
Yeah.
But thinking about
the toilet I like, it's the American Standard Boulevard is the one that I use the most. Again, it's not a cheap toilet, but that's all we've been talking about most of the show is toilets. Again, it's a very attractive toilet to start with. It's one piece, so it's easy to keep clean. It's fully skirted, so it also makes it easy to keep clean. It's got a soft close seat, and the seat is easily removable for cleaning. Now, the prices of these things are like in excess of $800. If that's not in the budget, then I would suggest any one of the other American Standard products. I know many years ago I used to push the Toto toilet, and that's all I was installing, but I found with every single one of them around the five-year mark, I was replacing flappers and fill valves, and I just gave up using them.
Yeah, okay. Sounds like my experience. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. No problem. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, where are we going next? Actually, we're at 9:44, so I don't have enough time to take another caller yet. I can do a quick text here. Hi, Frank, what do you think of the American Standard Cadet 3 toilet? I need to replace the floor. Okay, actually, this is going to take a little longer than a minute here. So why don't we see if we can break for traffic now? It's now not what's exactly 9:45.
Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show with Frank Cohn on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Yeah, welcome back. I've got one caller waiting, so I can probably take another couple of callers if you want to try and sneak in here. So let's go to Winston in Toronto. Good morning, Winston.
Hi, Frank. This is for my client. You had mentioned somewhere where you can get window hardware, like cranks and stuff like that?
Yeah, there is a company on my website. I don't have them the name off the top of my head. If you go to Frank's Contacts, iHeartRadio, I believe the company I'm recommending for doing window repairs and stuff is listed there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, I've got a text here for Dr. Clayton Greenway. My suggestion is you may try re-texting that, because by the time he gets on the air, this thing may be too far down the queue that he won't even get to it. Okay, what have I got here? Hi, Frank. Is there a good place to buy cool stained glass windows from Jay? Are you still listening, Jay? I thought you would have given up listening to me. I buy a lot of antique stained glass windows from the Stonehouse of Campbellville. They've got an area there where they've got hundreds of them. They go probably once a year and bring back container loads of these antique windows. And what do you do with them? Well, I've done a few jobs. One, we finished doing a really old-fashioned country kitchen, and we enlarged the window in the kitchen, which wasn't the most attractive thing to look at. So I suggested they go there. They found a window that was about the same size, and we had to do slight refurbishing on it. And then we hung it in front of the current window, and it looks amazing. Other jobs I've had, we did one job where they had a very long hallway separating the kitchen from everywhere else. When we were redoing the kitchen, I went there and bought a very large stained glass window. I think this thing was about 5 feet high and about 8 feet wide. We cut a hole in this wall and inserted it into the wall. And so when you're sitting in the kitchen in the eating area, you've got this beautiful window to look at, and it's also now letting light come through into the hallway. I've done this in quite a few jobs, so it's just an interesting decorating idea that you can think about doing if you want something different. Okay, now I had a text here I was going to answer before. Okay, what do I think of the American Standard Cadet 3 toilet? Again, it's a fairly basic toilet, but they are good toilets. Nothing wrong with them. And for those of you who can't afford the expensive toilet I keep pushing, then it's a good toilet. And also, I need to replace the flooring in my basement. There is a subfloor 8 inches off the concrete. Ceilings are already 7 feet high and drywall ends at the subfloor. Is it worth taking out the subfloor down to the concrete? And the house they mentioned is 100 years old. Well, there may be a reason why they put such a big subfloor down. But it wouldn't hurt to take that subfloor out and see what the existing floor is, whether it's dirt or broken up concrete. If it's broken up concrete or the floor is not in good condition, fix that. And then you can put your new floor either right down on the newly poured concrete floor or potentially build a subfloor that isn't as high to give you more ceiling height. Okay, another text here. Hi, Frank. My downstairs shower is 48 years old with original tiles. Really, some of the tiles have come loose. Should I repair these tiles or just retile the whole shower? That's from Phil in the Hammer, okay? Whatever that is. At that age, trying to replace the tiles is probably not going to work, because if that's just starting to deteriorate, so your best bet is to, unfortunately or unfortunately, retile the whole shower. And I know we're using the much larger format tiles now. We're usually using now the 24 by 24 tiles. They have smaller grout lines, which makes it a lot easier to keep, be it around your bathtub or your shower, a lot cleaner. Okay, another text here. Okay, to the caller with the toilet flush issue, use ZEP, available Canadian Tire. We had the same issue, turned water off the toilet. Flush toilet, clear water of the bowl, add a quart of ZEP undiluted and leave it for 3 hours. Do this every other years. I'm not familiar with the product. One thing I'm a little leery about, depending on what type of plumbing you have, is some of these chemicals can burn right through either the copper or the ABS plastic. So if you're going to look at some of these products, you might do a little bit more research into them to see if it's going to be an issue with any of that. Recommend a toilet that isn't $1,000, $500 or less. Again, American Standard makes a lot of toilets. They're well under $500. And again, I get all my toilets and stuff from Tubbs, the ultimate bath store, or I guess you can even get them from the box stores. Another text, I have 3 paneled back doors. One of the side panels is the door. I would like to cut open the 2 panels and create a large glass window panel instead of the 2 current vertical ones. Would you recommend a carpenter or a window firm to do that? Well, I guess depending how they're done, chances are if you get a window company in there, they can probably alter that. If you get a carpenter, yeah, you'll get a carpenter and the window company to do it, whereas a lot of window companies can do that for you. George Kent Home Improvements potentially being one. Let It Rain, something they could handle potentially for you as well. Okay, do we have anything else going on here? Okay, I have no more text or callers. I got a couple of minutes here. So again, I just want to reiterate the car shows again, the Mississauga Classic Car Show. We start, usually cars start arriving 4:30 ish. If you're coming just to see the cars, best time to show up is 7 o'clock or afterwards. And we usually go till dusk. We usually get lots of, cars there, anywhere from 200 to 300, depending on the weather. Bring the kids. The kids get a real kick out of it and obviously come to see me, because I love meeting all our listeners, and I've met dozens and dozens of you over the years. I'll be bringing my 67 Corvette, which is actually quite the car. This car was a barn find. was sitting in a barn for about 35 years. I bought it at a collector car auction, gave it to my buddies at Auto Tech who do all the work on all my vehicles as well as my company trucks. And took us about 2 years. So the car now is literally like brand new. So I'll be bringing that down. And if you have a collectible car or an interesting car, you're more than welcome to attend. There's no charge for you to come in. So it'll be great to see you, some of you people down there. Okay, we're now at 9:58. So I think that's it for me. And I will see everybody next week. And remember, let's keep our city clean and stop throwing your garbage out of the car windows. Take it home. And coming up next, Dr. Clayton Greenway and Animal House.